Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm the Big Jack. We're rolling out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. And, hey, you know what Friday is.
Start spreading the news.
Right. Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm just thinking about that song, not the Frank Sinatra song, but that song you played to start the show. And is that dedicated to the White Sox? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, it's I don't know what it's dedicated to anymore, but that's not going well. But, hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast, I do have to warn you, I'm having a little bit of an issue with the switchboard on the website, but you can still give us a call. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us. sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for one popping up over there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can forward anything you need along to Stu. So there we go. We are off and running, and like I mentioned to you, I turned off the White Sox game. Did you say it's 9-3, 9-6? Is it over yet?
It's over. 9-4, final.
Oh. Oh, excuse me. Thank you. So Houston does what they, you know, what they're supposed to do, win at home. And they did both games.
Yeah, no big surprise there. And I was speculating, and you're probably in agreement with this, is that it's going to wind up with a sweep for Houston.
Yeah, you know, it was so weird because before that series started, you know, I was looking at the previews and listening to the previews and stuff, and a lot of people were saying they thought Houston would sweep. And I was like, nah, you know, the White Sox will win a game. I mean, they've got really good starting pitching, and, you know, they have a really good offense. And, boy, it sure doesn't look like it.
Yeah, they had the brief 4-2 lead, but it didn't last very long, and the relief pitchers did not do a very good job for them today.
No. You know, I mean, just terrible. So
I find it very odd that Kimber was so good with the Cubs. I mean, unhittable. I think his ERA was under 1, and he has absolutely been horrible with the White Sox.
Yeah.
Is the American League that much better than the National League?
I guess. I don't know. So, you know, you have to wonder, don't you, now?
Yeah, and besides, they've won all the, over the last, 15, 20 years, I think they have a huge amount of wins in the All-Star game versus the National League, too.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess you have to, you know, wonder. So, but, yeah, it's been a very disappointing two games. So,
yeah, a couple of players are playing well for the White Sox. Roberts, of course, and Anderson, but that's about it.
Yeah, you know, Luis Robert looked really good today. You know, I know he was 3-for-3.
He made it out of
You know, I don't. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if he ended up getting another at bat. I couldn't watch it anymore. I had to go to the Braves Brewers game just to get away, you know, from it.
And the last I heard about that game, and it was still scoreless.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 0-0 when I was coming in to get set up. So, I can't do two things at once. I'm not that talented. So I had to let it go and, you know, come in here and get ready to do this. Otherwise, I would just be watching the game and not paying attention to anything that's going on. Not that I pay that much attention anyway.
Fans of baseball should be very happy about today with all the games that they're be able to watch throughout the course of the evening and early afternoon.
Yeah, you know, it's been a very odd schedule. You know, I don't understand why they split the wild card games up. You know, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. And, you know, like the Brewers and the Braves had the entire week off. You know, their season ended on Sunday. This is the first game of their series. So it's a little baffling to me how this is scheduled and the way they kind of do it. And, you know, I get travel days and stuff. That's going to happen. So, you know, no big deal there. But
there's four, four division games going on today, which is quite a – I don't know if I usually have all four at one time like that.
Yeah, I think they have done it before, but generally two of them will start early. You know, I know the Brewers and the Braves had kind of an early start, but, you know, I mean, we got two games tonight that are basically going to be in prime time. I know the Red Sox Rays are scheduled to start at 6, and God, did the Rays look good last night. And then the Dodgers and the Giants finally kick off probably a little after 8:30.
And I'm sure most of the experts are picking the winner of that series to advance to the World Series.
Yeah, you know, most of the people I heard picking this morning, it seems like probably 80% or more are with the Dodgers in that. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I mean, the Giants have done it all year. Why can't they do it in the playoffs?
And besides which, the first two games will be in San Francisco, which gives them a huge advantage.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers are so strong. I mean, this is going to be a very, very – it's probably going to be the best series of all four series that are being played, I would think, and very competitive. But I wouldn't sell San Francisco short. They won 107 games during the season.
Yeah. Yeah, and, well, you know, like, you know, right now this Braves-Brewers series looks pretty competitive. You know, the way they look pretty evenly matched, you know, so it looks like the National League series may be a lot better than the American League ones because, you know, Tampa Bay looked like such a better team than Boston last night, and the Sox are just overmatched by the Astros. I mean, that's not even a contest there.
I think if you were to ask most baseball experts during the season for the American League, it would wind up that Tampa would wind up playing Houston for the pennant.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember how many people were on the Astro bandwagon to start the year, and I don't remember there being that many, but
yeah,
I'm sure.
They've been a solid team for years.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very odd that, they rebuilt and have been able to maintain their winning status while some other teams who went through the same as them either never won or are to the point now where they're tearing it down again because they blew it.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And reading between the lines and talking about Chicago Cubs, for example, reading between the lines as to what Hoyer said, I fear that we're in for a long rebuild on the north side of Chicago.
Yeah, it's, you know, and, you know, like I mentioned this to you in email, you know, when you have a team, and I mean, you're the Cubs or the Royals or the Tigers or, you know, even the Twins with the way they played this year, why is a big-time agent big-time free agent going to want to sign with you? You know, one guy isn't going to make that much of a difference. I mean, you go from 65 wins to 70 if you're lucky. You know, these guys want to win. They want to make the playoffs. Why are they going to come to a team like that? Unless they really overperform.
And I'm speculating now, and I'm speculating that the Cubs will sign two or three free agents, but none of them of the super mega talented type, maybe a second tier free agents or decent players, but they're not going to get you over the top.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I assume. They're going to go in and fill out with mid-level free agents who have quality names, so it kind of seems like they're trying to do something. But, you know, I seriously doubt they're going to give anybody a long-term deal. I'd be shocked to see them sign a guy for more than a couple years.
Yeah, I don't see anything more than a two-year deal. And I suppose the top-tier players, as you mentioned, are kind of be reluctant to sign with the Cubs anyway.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, a lot of guys have had nice things to say. You know, like Trevor Story was very complimentary about Wrigley Field and the team and stuff. But, you know, he's a free agent. Of course he's going to be complimentary. He wants as many teams bidding on him as possible.
Of course.
You know, it's just the process of how it's you know, got to be. And, you know, I mean, you're seeing that in football right now with Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's saying great things about everybody Green Bay plays because he's on the open market next year.
Yeah, and I, for one, I'm not surprised at all that he's still playing for them this season.
No, that was, you know, what was his options were play for Green Bay or retire.
Yeah.
So, what were his choices?
Didn't have any, really, but at his age, do you think he'll get a lot of interest from other teams after the season's over?
Yeah, you know, now with the way quarterbacks are protected, you know, I mean, God, look at Tom Brady. He's in, what is he, 40, 41. You know, you can, as long as your arm is good, you can play, you know, into your 40s now as a quarterback.
Yeah, I think there was a penalty called in the Chicago Bear game last week and roughing the passer, and my goodness, he barely touched the guy, and they called it.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, pretty much everything is roughing the passer now. So
a little touch, it's going to be, and it's very difficult. Sometimes they do that slide, you know, that slide that they do to stop the play. The play is real dead. Sometimes the player's momentum, he might touch the guy inadvertently on the slide, and they'll call a penalty on that too.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, you've seen, you know, the quarterbacks know how to get down late enough to where they can actually draw a penalty now.
Yeah.
No, so they're, you know, they've been, you know, they learn and they get smart about it and they realize, oh, yeah, hey, I can get an extra 15 yards here off this guy who is really just doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I wonder what the old-timers like Butkus thinks about the new protection for the quarterback nowadays. I'm sure they're not happy about it.
So, yeah, no, it's just, you know, it's just the way it's going, and, you know, the NFL is sold on quarterbacks being their money makers, so they're going to protect them at all costs.
Yeah, that's the name of the game now, and it still makes for entertaining football, I suppose, and which is what they're banking on, and it's still the number one sport in the United States, I suppose, year in and year out.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is, you know, is a big winner. You know, I'm sure it outdid baseball last night, you know, ratings-wise.
I would think so. Maybe the World Series will give them a run for the money on a Thursday night, for example. There's a World Series game on for competing against a Thursday night of football game. I think they'll probably do okay in the ratings then.
Yeah, I think depending on who the football game is, you know, which teams are involved. So.
Yeah, I'm sure they try to schedule those games with the more competitive teams.
Yeah, you'd like to think they would try to work things out with each other, but you know, why would the NFL care? They're going to get their ratings no matter what. So.
Yeah, didn't they have wasn't Jacksonville on one of those nationally televised games recently?
Yeah, they were. I think they were. Were they last week? I think it was Jacksonville and somebody. It wasn't a really great matchup, but when there's
no
competition,
no,
you know, it doesn't matter. It's football. People watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's just kind of baffling. It's like, hey, it's like how well preseason football does in the ratings. It's like, really? You're watching guys who aren't going to make the team, especially now. So.
Yeah, you always wonder about that.
So, but yeah, that's just kind of weird. So, like I mentioned to you just before we were coming on, you know, Jim Cott had to apologize during the White Sox game about a term he used. I didn't hear it. And now I'm seeing, and this is just kind of weird, that they dug up an email that John Gruden wrote 10 years ago now, back in 2011. And apparently it contained a racial trope, or as they put it here, insensitive language, when referring to DeMarcus Smith. This is 10 years ago. Why in the hell are we going through all this crap?
And who researches these things and finds out what had been said 10 years ago?
So yeah, they don't have credit on anybody who dug it up, but you know, they do this all the time with sports figures. You know, they'll dig through your Twitter account and see what you wrote, and it's like, really, it was 10 years ago. We've come a long way since that. I mean, I know it's not perfect and there's still a lot of racial stuff that they have to work out, but do they honestly think bringing stuff like this up is going to help that? I mean, they're just looking for a story, right?
Yeah, that controversy sells, and maybe when they come up with these old things that took place and they get the necessary publicity on it, who knows why they do it?
I saw the Jim Cott thing. Something he said something about 40 acres, and I didn't really get that. I didn't understand what he said that was so bad.
Yeah, I missed that line, so I'm not sure what they're talking about.
Yeah, I want to see if they have his quote here, because obviously, you know, they put articles up right away. Let's see what we get. It says, as Moncada approached the plate in the first inning of the game against the Astros, Cott, along with Buck Showalter, talked about Moncada's ability. Showalter asked, can we have one of those, when he saw Moncada? Cott then said, get a 40-acre field full of them. Apparently the phrase was associated with slavery.
Yeah, I could see where that could offend some people. You can construe that comments in a negative way, I'm sure.
So yeah, I guess,
you know,
it depends how you look at it, but
referring to migrant workers, it seems to me. Would that be possible?
Yeah. So yeah, it probably wasn't the greatest thing to say, but I'm willing to bet that he meant it in a different context. But of course, you know, some jackass with a Twitter account grabbed onto it and, you know, turned it into a racial thing so they could get a little publicity for it.
Yep, And as you said, it's already making the rounds on the internet.
Yeah, oh yeah, it didn't take long. I mean, I'm sure the minute after he said it, somebody had it up there wanting to know what he was talking about. So
maybe they'll suspend him for a game or two.
Yeah, you know, it seems like it went away pretty quickly. So I don't think that anything will come of it. I do have a feeling that we're going to see people start saying that the Raiders will need to fire John Gruden because of his comments.
Yeah, well, he has made a few other remarks over the course of his career.
Yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately, you know, when you're older, you know, you get set in your ways and you're used to certain things. And, you know, nowadays they're not all politically correct. And, you know, what Gruden said wasn't borderline like what Jim Cotts said. I saw his remarks. I want to double check them here and make sure I get them right. Apparently what he included in the email was that Smith had lifts the size of Michelin tires, which obviously isn't appropriate.
No, not at all. Yeah, that remark should not have been made.
So, yeah, I have a feeling that we're going to get – and, again, this was 10 years ago. So let's, you know, take that into context. But you've seen – you know, you've seen draft picks in sports had to go back and apologize that for what they tweeted when they were 16, 17-year-old kids.
Yeah.
So you know Gruden's going to get killed. Gruden and the Raiders are going to get killed over this.
I'd like to think that we've become a more tolerant nation over the past 10 to 15 years. But are we going too far towards the other side and being too tolerant?
Yeah, it, you know, there's always people who are going to get carried away with it. You know, it's just one of those things that you get stuck with and you're going to have to deal with. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that either statement was right, but I don't believe Cotts was meant in a racial way that it's being spun into. Gruden was clearly pointing out, I mean, obviously, you know, DeMarcus Smith is an African-American, so that's the first thing you're going to look at, where Moncada is from Cuba. So, you know, it's just either way, they, you know, it was poorly worded or poorly written, and, you know, it needs to stop one way or the other.
You think Cotts may have been alluding to the fact that there are so many good baseball players coming out of Latin American countries?
Yeah, that, and I have a feeling that, you know, in Cuba they play in fields. You know, especially, you know, it's not a well-off country, so a lot of the kids come from poorer upbringings and they play wherever they can. So I don't believe he was trying to associate it with slavery, even though it has been associated that way in the past. And originally that was the context about every slave that was freed was going to get their own 40 acres.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand the idea behind it and how people took it. But, yeah, I think he was just more talking about the landscape of Cuba and how some of these kids play. You know, when they're just developing.
Yeah, and I would say that I'm not sure if the great majority of players in the major leagues now are Latin American, but I would say a very, very high chunk of them are.
Oh, yeah. I would almost bet the majority of them are now.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And it's a sport that they learn and develop and play on a constant basis, and some of the few can make it into the big leagues, and because of all that experience they've had playing that baseball every day.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some of those kids, you know, I believe the Cubs signed Carlos Zambrano at 16. So, you know, if you're talented enough, it's really a way for these kids to help their families out.
Right. Well, remember that before he even played in the major leagues, the White Sox signed Roberts to a 5 or 6 year deal.
Yeah, they did the same thing with Jimenez.
Right, then that's a risky move. That's an actual risky move that they're making. You don't know if a guy's going to develop as a major leaguer, but in both of these cases, they made a great decision.
Yeah, well, remember, you know, the Cubs did that with Jorge Soler, and it didn't really work out in Chicago, but he did well enough in Kansas City to get traded to the Braves, and now he's in the playoffs.
Yeah, and he's in the starting lineup today. I know that. Certainly has helped him. I think he's helped Atlanta quite a bit since he's been moved over there from Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he really developed, you know, once he got out of Chicago. Of course, he had a lot of injury issues here with the Cubs. So staying healthy obviously helps immediately, but, you know, it's just one of those things.
And early on, he had some injury issues with Kansas City, too. But when he got healthy, he had a tremendous season for them, playing every game. I believe he played every game 1 year. And probably led the league in homers that year. I think he played in 162 games.
Yeah.
You know, and like I know the Red Sox missed big time with a Cuban prospect by the name of Rusney Castillo. They signed him for big long-term big money, like 6 years at, I think at the time it might have been $60 or $80 million, and he only had a handful of games in the major leagues. You know, and the Diamondbacks had the same issue with Yasmani Tomas. He had one really solid year for them. Even though I believe he had a very low average, he still had like 30-plus dingers. And that was all he gave him was the 1 year. And then, they ended up, releasing him. So, it is hit or miss.
It really is. So you have to give the White Sox credit for making two decisions that have turned out very, very well for the ball club, because they're going to be a contender for years. And they're certainly – Jimenez and Roberts are a huge factor if they sign those guys for that long-term deal. They don't have to worry about them going to free agency and everything else.
Yeah, I don't know who does their scouting down there, but I hope they take good care of them, because you had Jimenez and Roberts in with Abreu, and those are three just fantastic signings all coming out of, I believe they're all from Cuba.
Yeah, and I think when you mentioned that, when you looked up the salary for the scouts, and they don't get paid all that much.
No. So, but yeah, I just hope, you know, there was a nice bonus in for that guy when he found these three, or if it's the same guy who found all three of them.
Yeah, I wonder if a bonus factors in, if they sign guys and they develop into top-notch major league players. Will the scouts get a bonus or not? I'm not sure how that works.
I'm sure they could have it written into their deal.
Yeah, and I think the White Sox are more than happy to pay a bonus for the players that they brought over to the White Sox.
Because, you would think it would, or even, the White Sox, out of the goodness of their heart, would just give them a little something.
I have a feeling that Reinsdorf would probably do something like that.
Yeah, you would think. You know, he seems like the kind of guy.
But on the other side of town, I don't see the Ricketts paying a scout extra money for bringing in a top-notch player.
No, he's not paying anybody he doesn't have to. So, you know, there's no way there. But, I did want to ask you, we're not far away from the actual start of the NHL season. And there's been a lot of positives about the Blackhawks this year. You know, they're going to get Jonathan Toews back. And a lot of people think they're a playoff team. Are you on board with the Blackhawks in the playoffs now that the divisions are back to normal and teams can go to Canada?
I think they're going to be a playoff team. I'm not sure how far they'll go in the playoffs, but I think Kirby Dach is going to have a good season for them. And, of course, getting Toews back is a huge plus. it looks like he really hasn't missed much a step at all. So that's going to help them. And they got, of course, they signed that Fleury as a goaltender, a great goaltender. So, and they have some other promising young players. I think there's one player, I'm trying to remember his name. He played last night. He played about 14 minutes. And he's a rookie. And you don't see a rookie sticking with the team and playing that much time right before the season starts. Usually they're sent down to one of the affiliates. So I wish I could remember his name, but he looks like a promising addition to the roster also. So they are certainly going to be an improved team this year.
So yeah, you know, it would, you know, because, I mean, they were a playoff team last year, right, I believe, but they not really competitive, so.
No. Not at all, but I think that they may surprise a lot of people this year. And, of course, it's the NHL, so anything can happen. There's no clear-cut.
Yeah,
there never seems to be a clear-cut favorite.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the NHL. You never, you know, no matter how good a team looks, it doesn't matter. So.
Well, it's going to take me a little time to start to learn some of the new players and as the season starts. Same thing as in basketball, too, because, boy, there's a lot of new players in the Bulls also. And
yeah, you know, but you know, the Bulls, it's not so much where you get rookies or young guys. It's veterans that have come over from place else.
Yeah, they made some good moves, too, and I think they'll be a playoff team this season as well.
Yeah, it appears as they should be. You know, there's no barring injury, of course. I mean, you can say that about any team. But, yeah, they should, both the Bulls and the Blackhawks should be playoff teams, so at least we'll have that, the appointment of the White Sox.
Right, and can we talk about football for a moment? I can't remember. I looked up the next five games the Bears play, starting with Sunday with Las Vegas, and I looked at the five games, and I looked closely, and I looked again and again, and I thought to myself, I don't see one win there.
Yeah, you know, I know somebody had pulled up the Bears' schedule, and they were discussing it, one of the NFL shows, and it does get tougher, you know. I mean, I know everybody's excited because Justin Fields had a good game, and, you know, they seem to kind of forget to mention that it was against the Lions. But yeah, it's here's the next five. We have obviously Raiders this week. Then it's Packers, Buccaneers, 49ers, Steelers, and then Ravens after that. So,
you see a win for any of those games?
Well, maybe, you know, the Steelers haven't played very well. They're 1-3, and you know, the 49ers may be in the same situation as the Bears, where they're starting a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, the only one I could see possibly for a win, though, I would not be the Steelers. It would be San Francisco. Maybe they could sneak a win out against them.
Yeah, because Jimmy Garoppolo isn't playing this week for the 49ers. So depending on how, you know, Trey Lance develops or what he looks like, because he was, I guess the best way to put it would be raw when it came to, you know, a quarterback, a rookie quarterback. So getting a look at him this week is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, and very few rookie quarterbacks come in and make an immediate impact in the league. It does happen. Of course, we know it happens, but not all that often.
So, yeah, it's just one of those weird things. I don't know how it is or why it is, but yeah, they don't do much.
No. I think the speed of the game maybe can affect them a little bit. In comparison to playing in college, the players here are so talented and so quick and fast and strong, and every team has it's built like that, and it's hard for a rookie to acclimate himself to the difference between pro football and the college level football, no matter if they come from a first division team or not.
So yeah, no, it's, well, you know, they say it's a different, you know, scenario, just an entirely different world, more or less, you know, coming from college to pros, especially football.
And it's not that many more games they play. What is the college football schedule? 10, 11 games, 12 maybe?
It's normally,
the
quality teams,
It's normally like 11 or 12 or and a bowl game. So,
well, if you count the three
exhibition
games, 20 games
becomes
in the NFL.
Yeah. You know, yeah, well, the difference is, you know, the talent is more spread out in college. You know, the NFL is best of the best. They're, you know, in college, you're always, you know, even the best teams have a weakness. It's just can the other team exploit it.
I've noticed that when in college, the last few years especially, when two of the top teams get together and play, the scores are very high-scoring games. They don't seem to be able to contain their opponent at all. It's a matter of who wins in a almost like a shootout-type atmosphere.
Yeah, I was reading about that, and they were saying that, you know, it's the fact that young kids now are really kind of focused on those skill positions, you know, and they want to be wide receivers and, you know, they want to do the things that are flashy. And that's led to more offense in the game.
Yeah, you think that the top teams would be have some pride in their defensive ability, but, boy, some of these games last year between the two top teams, they were like 48 to 45, well, games like that. You don't see that in years past.
No, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's the way the game has turned. You know, offense is everything, and, you know, defense takes a back seat to it.
Yep, that's the way it is. Are the quarterbacks as the quarterbacks in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. You know, well, that, and you got to remember that that's what they want. They want offense because they believe, you know, it's like any other sport, you know, they believe offense sells. So they're going to give you as much offense as they can. You know, no matter how it affects the game, I mean, that's why we see this. I mean, you know, baseball has tried it. Basketball definitely has tried, you know, does it. You know, I mean, we've talked a million times about how you never see defense in basketball. And, you know, football's along the same line. I mean, especially the NFL has done basically everything they can to legislate defense out of the game.
Yeah. Well, the thing we've talked about in baseball, of course, is that some of the top players, someone's stricken on what, 40% of the time, and some of these guys, and they still get the big bucks. I mean, that would never happen years ago.
Yeah, no. You know, I mean, you can look at, you know, it's sad to me because, like, they were talking about it on the White Sox game about Yasmani Grandal having a big hole on the left-handed side, and all he needed to do was basically hit a ground ball to shortstop, and he'd have a base hit. And I believe it might have been Bob Costas who brought up the fact that players don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I have seen when Anthony Rizzo was with the Cubs, I saw him do that a couple of times, but very seldom. And he just punched the ball into left field, beating the shift.
Yeah, there are players who still do it from time to time, but, you know, I mean, when you think about the great hitters, like they brought up Rod Carew on the broadcast, who only won 7 or 8 batting titles. You know, you couldn't shift on a guy like that because he would hit the ball, you know, anywhere.
Yep.
You know, it's another way that sabermetrics and analytics have ruined the game because they put such an emphasis on home runs that nobody cares about batting average and getting on base because home run hitters get paid.
That's right. And I was impressed, by the way, with Tim Anderson today. He punched a ball into the two or three hits by working in, against the shift and hitting the ball into right field, and very smart hitting on his part, I thought.
So, yeah, well, you know, and like I'm sure now there are people complaining right and left because the Braves-Brewers game is going into the top of the seventh and it's still 0-0. You know, and you know there's not people out there talking about what great pitching is going on with Corbin Burnes and Charlie Morton. They're talking about the lack of offense.
Right. Well, you figured looking at it on paper, you knew there was going to be a pitcher's duel today, which could be a great game.
Yeah.
I mean, a very tense, exciting game, if you're a baseball purist, that is.
Yeah, you have to be a baseball fan to enjoy the games like that. I mean, you just can't be a casual fan who turns it on and goes, oh, okay, I want to see some home runs because, well, you're not getting them right now. Maybe when the bullpens come in, but, yeah, as of right now, you know, they've been really dominant. And since we are in the seventh inning, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we're into the bullpens. Let me see if I can grab the box score here. And especially, you know, the Brewers don't allow their pitchers to go very deep into games.
No.
But maybe since it's a playoff, it'll be a little different. No, the Brewers are already into their bullpen. Adrian Hauser is in the game. But as of right now, Morton is still in the game for the Braves.
He's pitching a heck of a game. Because the Brewers have Burnes
gave up two hits, but he did walk three in his six innings through 91 pitches. Morton's given up two hits and one walk in his six. And he's only at 77 pitches, so he's probably got another inning or two, depending on
how
his pitch count goes.
Now, you're talking, you're in the seventh inning. Now, if it goes in the extra innings, I'm going to make the assumption that the regular season rules are not going to be enforced for the game.
There is no runner on second rule in the playoffs, thankfully.
And that would be a horrible thing. That would be horrible if a playoff game was decided by that crazy rule.
Yeah, what an embarrassment that would be for Major League Baseball. I mean, it's to watch it during the regular season. I would rather see them go to ties after like 12 innings or something than that stupid rule. So
I wonder if that rule will stay in place under the new CBA. I hope not.
Well, it's supposed to be gone. You know, from everything I've read and heard, they're going to get rid of it.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean,
I think it
came in because of the COVID problem, right? And they didn't want to.
No, it came in because they wanted the games to go faster. The media was complaining about games taking too long and going, you know, extra innings. So it was created through media peer pressure to make games end sooner.
I wonder if any game went past 12 or 13 innings this season with that new rule.
You know, I wouldn't know because you know my deal. As soon as it goes into extra innings, I turn it off because I can't watch that. It's not baseball anymore.
No, it distorts the game.
Yeah. But I was curious. I saw online that you bought a new picture. So I'm just kind of questioning, first off, A, where are you going to hang your new shoeless Joe Jackson picture? And B, where did you get the $1.47 million to buy it?
Well, it's not only a great picture, but it's a great investment because it's only going to go up as years go on.
And Linda let you do that? Does she know? Did you tell her?
Well, she knows I'm a sports fan, so this time she says, all right, we'll cash in one of our certificates and make the purchase.
So, yeah, it was the most ever paid for a signed sports photograph.
Yeah, I always wonder why someone would pay that kind of money for something like that. I mean, they have to be a multimillionaire to afford it, and why? Is it just the satisfaction of having a unique item in your house?
Yeah, well, you know, I know some of the guys who buy it are just really big baseball fans, and, like, this is considered the only known Joe Jackson signed photo in existence. Or shoeless Joe Jackson, depending on how you look at him. So obviously, it's very collectible. And like you mentioned, you know, if this person who bought it does decide to move on from it, it's probably going to go up in value.
Yeah, you would think so. And, yeah, there are some rare items out there that sell for an astronomical amount of money.
So, yeah, and apparently they did sell some other items. There was a Babe Ruth professional model bat with 8 home run notches in it that sold for $1.05 million. A 1925 Lou Gehrig autograph rookie exhibit postcard that went for $687,500. And then a Joe DiMaggio autographed handwritten letter to Marilyn Monroe that went for $525,000.
Well, that one has to be from the 50s, I would imagine. That one from Joe DiMaggio.
They say 1952. And humorously, that's the one I would have really wanted, was DiMaggio's letter to Monroe.
I wonder if there was some risque stuff in that letter.
That's why I would want it. I would want to know what he wrote. I just want to see what he
exactly.
said to me.
Yeah.
So.
He probably wanted to ask if it was true about Bobby Kennedy, President Kennedy,
hit the value.
If those rumors are true or not.
Yeah. So, well, they were married for a short period of time, correct?
DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe, yeah. Oh, yeah, they were married.
No. I can never remember.
A couple of years at least.
So. But, yeah, it's interesting. You know, like I said, I'm waiting for one of my baseball cards to, you know, hit the big open market there so I can, you know, cash in. Sadly, I don't have a Hannes Wagner.
Yeah, that's another one that goes for big bucks.
Yeah, that, you know, there are some cards, you know, lately. You know, I know like a Tom Brady rookie card went for big money, and I believe so did a LeBron James. They both went for they went in the millions of dollars. So it's starting to spread out a little more. You know, for the longest time, it was just Hannes Wagner. That was the card. But there have been some more now that have, you know, went for more money.
Yeah, at one time, the Wagner one was the holy grail in terms of collectability.
So, but yeah, there have been a few more down the road that have seen their value take off. So.
Yeah, it's too bad I didn't keep my 1938 Action Comic magazine, too.
I know. You would have been right there. So.
Because that went for millions of dollars also.
Did it?
Oh, yeah. That was the first issue of Superman.
Oh, okay.
And that went for huge, huge dollars.
So, yeah, I know. I had that. I actually have two of them. I was working at a comic book and card baseball, you know, a sports card shop at the time. So I grabbed two of those Death of Superman comics, and then they ended up printing like a bazillion of them. So.
Yeah. I had the original first issue of Mad Magazine. I understand I could have, if I kept it, which of course I didn't, back in the early 50s, that's worth some nice bucks nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, it's surprising how much some of that stuff goes for. So.
Yeah, the collections and the... I don't know if you ever watch Antique Roadshow. It's on PBS on Mondays, and it's very interesting what some of these items go for. It really will shock you.
Yeah, you know
what the going rate is in some items that you think aren't worth much at all.
Yeah, I always seem to catch the one where it's the people who think they have something and don't.
Yeah, there was one. I forgot what the one gentleman was. When the appraiser's item was so much money, he collapsed on camera.
Wow.
Yeah, actually fainted.
So, but, well, all right, I don't want to forget where we're going, even though you did scuffle mightily last week. You did drop all four of your picks. So you're going to need to bounce back here. You are 72-61, so you're still in the still in the green, as they say. I almost said red, but no, it's green. So we're gonna, let's see. I saw something I wanted to do. I think this may be a I don't want to give you just chalk picks here, and I think these games are always kind of tough. So tonight, the Bulls are actually in action in preseason. They're playing the New Orleans Pelicans. I have to tell you, I would never in my life bet on a preseason game, but I'm going to make you pick the winner. The game is in Chicago. You got the Bulls getting the win, or you like New Orleans?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and pick the Bulls to win the game based upon their great performance against Cleveland the other night. Although New Orleans is a lot stronger team.
They looked really good. I was kind of surprised how good they ended up looking in that game. I was like, whoa. So, all right, well, we will jump to what will be, I believe they play again on Sunday. The White Sox series shifts here,
Sunday at 7.
Get on the plane. They come to Chicago. You got the sweep happening, or do the White Sox get a win?
Who's starting for the White Sox?
I haven't – let me see if I can find it really quick, but my guess would be Dylan Cease, but I'm going to double-check that.
You're probably right, but I'm going to go for the sweep. No matter who starts for the White Sox, I'm going to go for the Houston sweep.
The Houston Astros have announced Luis Garcia. The White Sox are actually considered undecided. So.
Yeah, I'm going for the Houston sweep. I'm afraid they're going to wrap it in three.
So you got Houston there. And then we stay on Sunday. All right, the Oakland Raiders, they're not the Oakland Raiders anymore. They're the Las Vegas Raiders. They are a 5.5-point favorite against the Bears. Do they cover?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. So you're taking the Raiders to win by more than 5.5. I like that. That's interesting. And it looks like the over-under for the game is 45 points. Do you have it going over or under in total points scored?
I will go for under.
Okay. All right. You are all set. Let's hope your week goes a little better this week.
Let's put it this way. I can't do any worse than last week.
No, on the plus side, you're right there. So... off kilter here, you got the Dodgers or the Giants winning game one tonight.
That's a tough one. That is really a tough one. And I'm going to take a flyer on the Giants winning because it's in San Francisco. And Chris Bryant is batting sixth in the batting, playing left field. So for sure I'm going for the Giants tonight.
So, and then you got Tampa Bay taking game two against Boston tonight. Chris Sale is pitching for the Red Sox. So.
Yeah, and that notwithstanding, I picked Tampa to win again tonight.
That should be a. We'll have to see how long Sale can last. I know his final outing of the season, he wasn't very good. He only lasted a couple innings, so we'll see how he does against a pretty good Tampa Bay team.
Yeah. I don't see Boston winning the game tonight, but I've been wrong once or twice before, as I was last week.
So, yeah, and then the Brewers have broke through. They have taken a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Well, that looks like that should be conclusive because of their bullpen.
Yeah, well, remember, they don't have Devin Williams.
Right. Yeah, that was a stupid thing he did, but they had Hader.
Yeah.
Well, he pitched a 2-inning save.
It might be. And they're also missing Brent Sutter. I saw he's going to miss the series with, I think it's an abdomen. But the Brewers scored on a Rowdy Tellez 2-run homer.
Yeah, they're at home and the fans are behind them, so I think they'll hold on to win that game.
So, yeah, the Braves have they've held the Braves down. The Braves only have two hits. So we'll have to see if that offense wakes up. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Brewers handle their bullpen here, if it is Hader for two or if they go with another option.
I've been impressed with Council as a manager. I think he'll figure something out.
Yeah, he really handles not having what you would call a superstar. You know, I mean, I know Yelich was for a little while, but not anymore. He does a nice job of mixing and matching with just the players he has.
Yeah, he's a good manager. He's a good ball player, and he's a good manager too.
But yeah, so it you know, we'll see. We've only got a few minutes left, so you and I should wrap up just in time to catch the end of that game.
Yeah, I would think that the Brewers are not going to bring back Ryan Braun out of retirement to be a DH if they make it to the World Series, right?
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening. But hey, you never know. Maybe they'll find Robin Yount or, you know, one of those guys.
One of those talented players, yes.
Yeah, you know, Ben Ogilvie, Cecil Cooper. There's a lot of former Brewers out there they could reach out to.
Yes.
You know, now did you catch the steal of home last night, a la Jackie Robinson there by Randy Arozarena?
I did not see that.
Yeah, I caught the highlight of it, and boy, it was fantastic. He was right on. He I don't know if they knew about that, the way that pitcher moved or what went, but he was perfect. I was like, wow, that was impressive. You don't see that very often.
No, not at all. I told you
because Robinson was the last one to do it in the World Series.
Yeah, I told you the hilarious story when Hank Sauer played for the Cubs. One time he tried to steal home. He didn't make it. He didn't make it.
No, I would. That would be a not. He was not exactly fleet of foot, was he?
No. And the dugout was in stitches. They were laughing. They of course the Cubs are usual seventh or eighth place team that year, but that was, and he was, look like he was very mad when he came into the dugout after being tossed, thrown out easily by 3 feet as he tried to steal home. He was taking it very seriously, but his teammates weren't.
Oh, that's, well, that, you know, hey, that's how it works out, I guess, right?
Yeah, but he had some good years for the Cubs in the left field, a lot of home runs, and they used to throw chewing tobacco at him, and he liked to chew tobacco. And the fans in the left field would toss him chewing tobacco during the course of the game.
Well, you know, I guess that happens, right? I mean, I'm sure players have had oars thrown at him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, and don't forget, you know, you got to watch AEW Rampage tonight, because I believe your guy CM Punk is wrestling.
I believe he is, and I always seem to forget to watch that show. I don't know why, but maybe tonight I'll catch his match at least between pitches of the ball game or between innings, because boy, the time between half innings seemed to drag on interminably today. I don't know if you noticed it, thought about it, but it took
a
long time.
They add commercials for the playoffs,
and now they're using the same thing they use during the regular season, where there's sometimes commercials between pitches too.
So, all right, well, let's go watch the end of that game.
Well, the music is out to start the weekend, so I hope you enjoy yours. We're going to meet at 4 months. We'll be there Tuesday, but while we're on sportsmyradio.com, let's take a new blog tomorrow. The link up to the Facebook page, get on over there and like that. The Twitter feed is at sportsmyradio. You can also find me on Twitter at sportsmyradio.com. If you're looking at, have a good weekend, enjoy the playoffs, and of course, the NFL.